Okay, we are up to Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Aleph. We concluded last week with Daryavesh's permission, his official permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash after a letter was sent. After the Beis HaMikdash was temporarily, the reconstruction was stalled for about 14 years. Haggai and Zechariah influenced the Yishuv and Eretz Yisrael to rebuild, to continue the reconstruction without official permission to be Moser Nefesh. And they did, they listened. And then suddenly Tatnai and Shesar Boznai appeared on the scene and complained. They sent a letter to Daryavesh ben Esther, ben Achashverosh from the Megillah, and he read the letter, and he responded that I grant my permission, my blessing, you may continue with the reconstruction, and not only that, I command that tax money should be directed to the construction, to the construction site, and all of their needs shall be provided, whatever they feel that they need. A very unusual expression. Pasuk Tesu Mo Chashchon. The chash. Anything they feel that they need. How often do you hear such an expression? Talk to a government official today. Go talk to the Obama administration and they'll say, we're married to Shaul. Say whatever they feel that they need to do. Instead of saying that I know better, then I know better. I know what they need. They will say whatever they feel. However they feel.
They say they don't need it.
They can do what they want. All of their needs shall be provided. And then, unfortunately, in Pasuk Yud, it takes a twist. It takes a bad twist. Where he says, I'm allowing all of this for the purpose so that you shall pray for myself, my family, my children, that I should be successful. And this, unfortunately, everything was going very well. It was a very beautiful response. And this, Chazal, we discussed last week at length. Chazal are not favorable of this statement, that they read into the statement that it was Shaloi Lishma. It was all for his own benefit, not that he really did. He wanted the Mikdash to be rebuilt, L'shem Shemayim, purely for the glory of Hashem. Pasuk Yud Aleph concludes this letter, Umini, from me, Se'im Te'im, it shall be issued a decree, Dichol Enosh, any individual, Di Yehashnei Piskamo Duna, that changes. Yehashnei means to be Mishaneh, Yeshaneh, to alter this decree, that the construction resume, yisnesach o min baisei. Yisnesach means to be uprooted. O means a beam from that person's home. Uzekif yismechei alohi, and he shall be hung upon that beam. Very brutal punishment for a person that commits a crime. Well, you have to remember this is right after the story of the Megillah, and Haman was hung on a piece of wood that was 50 amos tall, which the Medrash tells us came from the Teva, and Haman himself was the one that retrieved it for Mordechai, but what he prepared for Mordechai was used for himself and his 10 children. So here we have that same mindset, that same technique, which is only being done a few years after the story of the Megillah. Here Daryavesh, the son of Esther, says to anyone that will interfere with my permission for the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, a beam shall be taken from his own home, and he shall be hung with Zekif Yismechei Alohi, he shall be hung upon this beam. Uzekif means to be raised up. Yismechei, an exact translation, Yismechei means Yusam. So we have really two different words. The Eitz, the Mitzudos Tzion, is very precise in its translation. Zekif means Hu Eitz Shetolim Olav. Uvid Rabbo Seder Zechon Levracha, the Ispe Zekifa, Zekif Binase, to stand up. It shall be stood up, and Yismechei is Yusam Alohi, the person shall be put on this beam, period. Uveisei Nivalu Yisaved Aldina, his home shall be made into a dung pile. It shall be designated as a dump. All the garbage will be put on this person's home after it's demolished for violating this technique. Vayisei Nivalu Yisaved Aldina, his home shall be made into a dump. Shall be done al din Eretz Yisrael during the time Rachman was done back when they had all those suicide bombers. It was very effective. Where they would demolish the homes of the suicide bombers. It definitely had an effect on to some degree on the Palestinians. Okay, let's go over here. The Rashi Pasuk Rashi pasuk yud aleph. Uminisim tei umimeni sim tzivui. From me comes the command. V'simas davar asher kol adam asher yishanet avazel yismechei yachriv. Eitzav mi beso sheyichori beso. First thing is this home shall be demolished, and from after it's demolished, they will extract the beam. Yisnesach kima. What's the word yisnesach that it says here in this pasuk? Yisnesach kima v'nischatem me'al ho'adama. It shall be. I'm not exactly sure what's v'nischatem. What's the precise translation? V'nischatem me'al ho'ad, be uprooted from the earth. Okay, I think it means simply to be uprooted from the earth. Akira, the Mitzudas Tzion, translates Yisnachach, uprooted from the ground. Next words of the Rashi, Uzekif Yismechei Alohi, Ve'etz lit loso yehe govoa alav, Sheyitla aloetz. The wood shall be higher than the person. They shall stand this piece of wood vertical position, and the individual that has violated my command shall be hung upon this piece of wood. They say nivolu yisaved, they so ye ose ashpa al kach. What does it mean nivolu? Inyan tinuf u mach roos, filth. Two different words which mean the same thing. It means filth shall be made from his home. Let's see over the Mitzudah, so we're coming to the Sio David. Pasuk Yudalf, me, mimeni yachusam gezeres oimer, asher kolish asher yishane davar zeh, yisnesach, oim sho yi asher yeoker eitz min habeis. The punishment will be that they will uproot, yeoker, a piece of wood from his home, v'lit lo sobo yusam, and it shall be put in position so that this person shall be hung upon it. The yitlu olav period. And this is a frightening warning for the people that they shall not interfere. Sheyiye nitlo aloetz asher yeokor mi beso. A person will be hung on a piece of wood that is extracted from his home. Beso beso yusam lamakam nivol the ashbabav wordzos. Pasuk yud beis. Next, Velo Kadi Shakin. Yeah.
Yeah, the previous pasuk, isn't it a big thing that Dariavish admits, you know, you got a real God, have your God pray for me? It's almost like,
yes, but we had that in Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. We had that in many places, that they do admit that the Jews have a great God, but they don't always come around to admit that it's the only God. Yeah,
doesn't diminish,
right? Doesn't, not all the time. Sometimes yes, sometimes not.
Realization.
But even when they have these flesh of realization, doesn't mean that our God is, we don't, we also have a God. You have your God and we have our God.
Your God, what they're saying is, but your God also works.
That's and actually that's a madrega. That's definitely a madrega, that there is some acknowledgement. Yeah, absolutely. Look at the Shomroinim. The Shomroinim, they shituf. We had the Beferish in the beginning, when the Jews, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael and they wanted to build a Beis Hamikdash, so they rejected them, because you, even though it's true that you acknowledge that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, but there's shituf. You also at the same time worship other gods. I heard a shir yesterday, very sure. I was always talking about the shir Sunday morning. He had a phenomenal shir yesterday, always gives a phenomenal shir. And he said that today, he spoke about people that have a double life. On the one hand, that they're wonderful people, they're involved in chesed and in Torah, but yet on the side, they're involved in some very shady activities. Many people, he says, many people, unfortunately, we all live a double life. He says, why is it so? So his theme is that all the good comes from Avas Hashem, and all of our failures, this, that we have room for other activities which are connected, Kol HaTorah Kula, comes from a lack of Yirah Shamayim. And it's not a stira, because there's Avas Hashem, and there's Yiras Hashem. And that's the dual nature. You have a double life. This Avos, you love, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power, you see what he can do, how incredible he is. So you love Hashem and you serve him. You do all these wonderful things. You build a Beis Hamikdash. But at the same time, I have no fear of Hashem. I love Hashem, but I'm not afraid of you. And therefore, I have room to do other things which you do not approve of. Yeah.
Another level, even below Yiras Hashem, is Pachad Hashem.
There's two different. So what is the difference between Pachad and Yiras? That's a very complicated topic. I don't know.
Yir is close to Ahava.
It's close to Ahava? Yeah, Pachad.
Pachad is...
Dread.
Dread.
Charada. They say that there's two different types. Even within a year, there are different types of Yad Rosh Chodesh. We ask Hashem.
If you travel on the train, you have Yira. But if a guy sits next to you with a gun, that's
Pachat. Pachat. Okay, different levels of Yira.
How do you question
this inconsistency? Even on Rosh Chodesh, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a month of Yira Shemayim. We say it twice. So this is Jewish. Why do we say it twice? So one of the ends, there's two different types of this fear of sinning, Yiras Chet, and then there's Yiras Haroimimus, what's called awe. It's not that I'm afraid I'm going to be punished. It's just I'm in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even within the category of Yira, there are many levels, different types of Yira. Okay, but you're right. It's absolutely correct.
Yeah. Your gozen, that?
Another type of fear. Your gozen. What kind of fear is that?
They acknowledge the fact that they saw the greatness of God, except that
they can't maintain it. They can't maintain it. It's a flash. You're right. But in Echnam, you're absolutely correct. There definitely over here is a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God, and therefore He's giving permission. He's spending His own money. He's spending money. That says it all. If you're willing to put your dollar where your mouth is, that's pretty good. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's coming to convert. He's going to abandon all of his gods and of his beliefs. Okay, pasuk yudbeis. They lokodi shakin shmei tamo. See here, and the God that rests His name over there. He doesn't say that Hashem rests His name over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Makir, there's a God, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and His name is resting in the Beis HaMikdash there in Yerushalayim. Yimagar. Yimagar is an unusual word, it means to topple. May he's giving Yeshua a curse. He may HaKadosh Baruch Hu topple anyone called Melech, any king, v'am, or any nation, di Yishlach Yedei, which attempts to interfere, to send forth their hand, lehashnaya, to change what is in process. There is a process that is now in motion to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, or lichabolot, to destroy. Forget about altar, but I guess that's even worse. To destroy, to damage or harm Beis Elokot Deich, this Beis HaMikdash, Divi Yerushalem, and this concludes his letter, and now he signs off in the middle of the pasuk. Ana Daryovesh, I Daryovesh, Somes Te'im, I officially issue this the signing off of the letter. I issue the decree. Osparna Yisadeit, it shall be done with speed. It shall be done quickly, with haste. No delay, everything shall be carried out very quickly. Let's see the Rashi Pasuk Yudbeis. Ve'lokod Yishakein Shmei, Ve'olokim, God, Asher Shochan Shmo Shem, who rests His name there in the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim. Yimagar. Yimagar is an unusual word. Yimagar, V'yifager, topple. These are two words which mean, pigorim, a carcass. When a person is murdered, so his body is an expression which means the body just falls on the ground hard. Yimagar v'yifager. Look at the mitzudos. So there is no mitzudos. There is a hapola. Mitzudas tzion pasuk yudbeis yimagar corpse in hapola. Kmo v'chisol aretz migaras, his chair to the aretz will fall. Pasuk in Tehillim migaras, and in this context it means also to topple v'yifager. Kol oso melech, any king, v'chol oso am asher yishlach yado l'hachriv l'hashches beisoy zesh shel Hashem asher b'yishalayim, Hashem shall topple any nation or a king that attempts to cause harm to the space of Megdash. I now issue my decree, Somes Te'im, Samti Tzivui Dover Zeh, I have commanded this matter, Asher Ya'aseh HaBinyan Mehera, Ad Kan Teshuvasoy Shel Daryavesh. This concludes the words of Daryavesh. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavid. Ve'loka ha'lokim asher yashkin eshmo shama, Hu yapil, he shall cast down, Kol melech v'am asher yishlach yada l'shmeis, to change div divari, my words, l'hashchis beis elokim zeh asher b'yishalayim, ano, ani daryavesh, samti gezeras omer, chish mehera ye'oseh. Swiftly, two words which mean the same thing, may it be done swiftly, may it be carried out swiftly. Pasik yud gimel. Now what happens? Edayin den tatanai pachas avar nahara. when the letter was received by Tatanai, who was the governor of the Avar Nahara, and by Shesar Bozenai, Uchinovos Hoin, and their friends, their companions, Likovel, in response, Di Shalach Daryovish Malka, in response to what Daryovish the king sent, Kinemo Osparna Avodu, as follows, as was ordered. Kinema means as was said. Kinema, as what was said in the document, which means what was written. But here we're borrowing, the name a little means like Omer, Amira. So in this context it means according to what was written and commanded and was said in, as if the document would speak, Osparna Avadu, they quickly carried out. They wanted to do what was good for them. They didn't want to get into trouble with the law. They listened to what it said. They gave them, obviously, all of the tax money. They gave them the animals. And they made sure that no one would interfere so that their heads would not be hung on the beam of their own homes. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Kinema, Kasher Neymar, Neymar, as what was written in the document, Asparna Avodu, Hero also, they were swift to carry out the decree, and the Mitzudos David says the same thing. Oz din adayin tatnai v'chavreihem bavur hadavar masher shlach adayavish hamelech asher amarnu lezeh, like what was said to kasher amarnu lezeh chish mehero also devarol, they quickly carried out the word of the king. Pasuk Yud Aleph v'sav Yehudo yei bonayin, they built, they continued to construct, to reconstruct, umatzlichin, they were extremely successful. Now here we have something very interesting. B'nevuas Chagai Nevio, to the nevuah of Chagai the prophet, and Uzchariah Bar Ido, and Zechariah Bar Ido. Here it does not say that he's a prophet. Okay, let's finish the pasuk and we'll come back and discuss this. Uvino, and they built. The people continued to follow the orders of Chagai and Zechariah, and they built. V'shachlilu, and they established a foundation for the entire structure. Min ta'am Elokah, from the command of Elokah Yisrael, listening to the command of Hashem. Now the command of Hashem was issued through the prophets, was issued through Chagai and Zechariah. Okay, so they ta'am in this means the command, the tzivui of Hashem, and through, you know, here we are giving credit. Umite'im Koresh, the command of Koresh, which was issued. Koresh at this point was dead. This command was issued 14 years ago. V'Daryovesh, and Daryovesh, which is his grandson. Now we have a new person. Now there are many ways to learn Pshat in this pasuk, which we will discuss in a moment. But let's learn the pasuk now in its simplest form. The Artach Shast Melech Paras. Now, according to the similar interpretation, we'll see Rashi in the Mitzudos, this refers to a later king, the king which came after Daryovesh ben Esther. And he is referenced later in Nehemiah, in Sefer Nehemiah. He later, after the Mikdash was complete, he gave permission for the walls of Yerushalayim to be rebuilt as well. So we have over here three kings, Koresh, three different kings. We'll see Chazal in a moment, we'll see some interpretations, but simply on a very simple level, there is Koresh, which is dead, 14 years ago. He was the one who started the process by giving the permission for the Jews to return, the 42,360 Jews to return and start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. It surely was ended 3 years later, but now was picked up by Daryovesh, his grandson, and his great-grandson, the Artach Shast Melech Paras. Okay, now before we discuss those three kings, let's discuss something interesting about the Nevuah of Chagai and Zechariah. If we turn back to the beginning of, I think, Perek Dalet, when the construction resumed, the Hisnabi, Perekei Pasuk Aleph, Chagai Neviyah, Uzechariah Var Ido Neviyayah. So the big question is, what happened to the word Navi here in Perek Vav? Perek Vav, the word Neviyayah is missing. So this is discussed by the commentaries. Rav Schwab has a very beautiful interpretation. He explains that you have to go to Sefer Treyosra and study their prophecy. And if you analyze, you will learn that Zechariah's primary focus was on Haggai's primary focus was on the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Haggai, but Zechariah's prophecy was more focused on the Geula HaAsida, on the times of Mashiach, on the revelation and the Shechina being restored. We have to study. I'm not prepared. I don't have the psuk in front of me to give you more detail. But Zechariah's prophecy was deeper, was more encompassing.
Why didn't they call the Navi?
Because it was not fulfilled at this point in time. It was meant to be fulfilled. Had the Jews merit, they would have. There's a famous Chazal that they were meant to merit miracles, Nisim Guluyim, at the time of Ezra, just like they had at the time of Yehoshua. Just like when they returned to Yeshua, the Yardane split for them as they entered. And they conquered 31 kings miraculously. They conquered the entire Israel. The walls of Yericho miraculously fell. There was Zochet to Nisim Gluyim. This was meant to repeat itself at the time of Kibush Ezra, but it didn't happen. At the time of Kibush Ezra, everything happened with Adara Chateva, because the Jews were not motivated to the degree that they should have been. They were not 100% holding where they should be. They were not with the program 100%. Therefore, It was a diminishment in the degree of Siyata Deshmaya, and the Geula HaSida did not come. If they merited, if they were Zochet, this Bayis Sheni would have turned into Bayis Shlishi, would have turned into the fulfillment of the prophecy of Yecheskel. It would have been constructed according to his blueprint, and Mashiach would have come, and Zerubbabel would have been Melech HaMashiach. But it was not meant to be. And therefore, the prophecy of Zechariah was put on hold. And the pasuk here is alluding to that by leaving out the word Nevi'ayah in reference to the prophecy of Zechariah. But Haggai, his prophecy focused mainly on the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And it was rebuilt. The Karbonos were restored, things did happen, and therefore, his prophecy was indeed fulfilled entirely. So here, when we describe the actual fulfillment, we mention Haggai as a Navi, but we fail to mention Zechariah as, and we just mentioned his name is Zechariah Bar Ido. Very interesting point to keep in mind, how the word Navi suddenly disappears. Now, by the way, what happened to Haggai Zechariah Malachi? So I told you last time, I forgot, and I came across it, is that many say that Ezra was called Malachi. So there's a set. So Ezra will come into Perek Zayin. Perek Zayin will first be introduced. Now Ezra arrives on the scene and participates in the reestablishment of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. So you have this team, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. We started out here with Haggai and Zechariah, which originally influenced the people. They should start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash even without permission of Dariavish. And we know that they are the ones that laid the foundation. The whole Masechta Midos is based upon Haggai and Zechariah, because it's a very big mystery. Masechta Midos is not Sefer Melachim, Shlomo HaMelech, and it's certainly not what it says in Sefer Yecheskel. So where does Masechta Midos and Masechta Yoma, with a very elaborate description of the Beis HaMikdash and its dimensions, it's not Nishtahi Nishtaher, it's not the Bayis Rishon, and it's not the Bayis Shlishi. So what's going on? Who was the one that gave over this prophecy that the Bayis Sheni shall be built with the dimensions and presented the way it is, as we find in Masechta Midos and in Masechta Yoma? The answer is, it was Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai and Zechariah were prophets, and they revealed exactly how Hashem wants this Bayis Sheni to be built. Had the Jewish people been a higher level, then they would have told them to build it like the description written in Sefer Yecheskel, the Bayis Shlishi, but that was not yet meant to be. The Bayis Sheni somehow is a crossover between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Shlishi, but it was done al derech nevuah to Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai was the main prophet for the Beis HaMikdash. Zechariah was the prophet for the times, the bigger picture, the Geula of the Kibbutz Golios, and the Klai Shel will be the Orla Amim, and Zerubbabel would have been the Melech HaMashiach, but that did not happen, so his name is left out. And there's also, I remember seeing, I think, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I read this yesterday, in fact, from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in a totally different context. He says something very interesting, which sheds a lot of light on a lot of the things that we're learning in Sefer Ezra. Why is the main focus was the names of the months. Why is it that the names of the months that we have today are Aramaic names, are even Persian names? Like Tammuz, the topic was focused specifically on Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz, the summertime, is really the eighth month. In the Torah, there's no such thing as names for months. Nisan is Chodesh Harishon. Why do we call it Nisan? It's a non-Jewish name. It was taken from Bavel. It was taken from the Persians, from the Babylonians. Not exactly clear where it comes from, but they're definitely not Jewish names. And the difficulty is that Tammuz is the name of an idol. It represents some type of you know what it is exactly?
No.
It's some type of idol. How could it possibly be that when they came from Babel, the time of Ezra, they took with them a name of an idol and they used it to the name of the month, and it's even presented in the Psukim. It's presented in the Psukim, some of these names later on in Ksuvim. No, the other ones as well. Furthermore, how could it be that the whole Sefer Ezra is written in Aramaic, not Lashon Kodesh? They're coming back to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. This is the Geula. There are other examples, I don't remember offhand, and he explains that Ezra wanted to make it very clear. And the Nevi'im at this time, when they saw that Klal Yisrael was not holding on a level that this should be the Geula HaSida, no one should make a mistake and think that this is Mashiach, that this is Yimos HaMashiach. Now, we can appreciate this much more after looking back in history, Shabbat Tzvi, and looking back and all, go through the entire history. It was a very big thing. When will Mashiach come? And this was a very dangerous point in time in the history of Klal Yisrael, where now they're actually going back to Eretz Yisrael and they're rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash. Many people, I'm not trying to say anything controversial, but when they established the State of Israel in 1948, I've heard this, it's written up in many places, there were many people that started not to observe Tisha B'Av. There were a lot of religious Zionists, and it was Tisha B'Av, the first Tisha B'Av after 1948, and they made nothing out of it. It was completely put on the back burner. It's Tisha B'Av. Here we are. We're in Eretz Yisrael. We have a state, and we have established ourselves here. So there's no longer a need for us to say to observe Tisha B'Av. Even very religious people, and they changed the Nusach of Nachem to reflect the change in times. And this became a very, and because there was such a sense that here we are, the Geula has arrived to a certain degree. So if this happened in our generation, you can imagine on Achas Kam V'Kam what was going on during the time when they came back to rebuild the Bayis Sheni. Here there was Chorban, Bayis Rishon, 70 years of Golus, Koresh gives permission, now Dayavish, and they're coming back, and they're coming back to reestablish a Yishuv with the Beis HaMikdash. What more could you possibly want? They're bringing Korbanos. So it's only going to be a short time before the Shechina is going to come down and rest in the Beis HaMikdash. What more could you possibly want? So it was a very dangerous time, and it really, the MS is, it was meant to be. As we find in the Nevuah of Zechariah and Chagai, it was meant to be the time of Mashiach, and Zerubbabel was meant to be Melech HaMashiach. But they just couldn't clinch it. They just didn't have enough will that it should really be Mashiach. And therefore Ezra, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, and Chagai and Zechariah had to bend backwards to make sure people don't get the wrong impression that this indeed is Yimos HaMashiach. And they did many things in this Tkufa to show this is not Yimos HaMashiach. Don't make any mistake. Look at the calendar. You're calling the calendar months by names which refer to Avodah Zarah? What more do you want? Avodah Zarah, that's how you define your calendar? Can this possibly be Yimos HaMashiach? Look at the language that they're using. We're writing even Sefer Ezra is being written in Aramaic. Aramaic is not the holy language. Even though Ezra did change the Ksav HaNishtav, and he changed to Lashon Kodesh, and he changed to Savashuris, okay, but there was a balance. There was still a great emphasis on Aramaic. There was no Oron. There was no. There were five things that were missing. They didn't have the Urim V'Tumim. They didn't have the Shem and HaMishcha. There were many things that were there that were done even on purpose to show that don't make any mistake and think that we're living in the times of Mashiach, and don't make a mistake and think that the Melech Zerubbabel is the Melech HaMashiach. And we have that idea really brought out here in between the lines, where we have the absence of the word Navi in reference to Zechariah. Chagai is a Navi, and they needed his prophecy because they needed him to tell them exactly how to build this bias, which is not in Sefer Melachim and not in Sefer Yechezkel. But as far as Zechariah, who's going to bring the time of Mashiach, that has not been fulfilled, and that had to be made crystal clear to the people living at that time that this is not the times of Mashiach. We have yet to merit the Geula HaSida. Now, another very important thing about this pasuk are who are these names? We have here three names: Koresh, Daryavesh, and Artachshasta. Now, we learned before, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that according to Chazal, they're all the same person. They're going to have the Narashi. They're all the same person. They're all really referring to Koresh, the first king. And they want to say that his real name was Daryavesh, which is difficult because when we think of Daryavesh, we think of one of two, Daryavesh HaModai and Daryavesh Ben Esther HaParsi. So, not the one that we call Cyrus the Great. That's not the one that we associate with the word Daryavesh. However, Chazal said that's not correct. His real name was also Daryavesh. And the reason why he's called Cyrus Koresh is because Melech Kosher Hava. And what about the name Artachshasta? Well, that's like Paro and Avimelech. Just like the leader of a country has a certain title, the Paro. So according to Chazal, these three names here, Koresh, Daryavesh, Artachshast, was the name of the first king of Paras, who we call Koresh. And according to Chazal, his real name at birth was Daryavesh. He was a Melech Kosher. That's why he's Koresh. And his title was Artachshast. But again, according to the simple understanding, that's not what the pasuk means. Koresh means 14 years ago. Daryavesh is his grandson. And Artachshast was a later king, which gave permission for the walls to be rebuilt, that we'll learn about in Sefer Nehemiah Mir Tzashem. Okay, let's see Rashi. Pasuk Yud Dalid. The Savei Yehudoye, the elders of the Jewish people, who are they? These are Ziknei HaYehudim, HaYubaynim, HaMatzlichim, they were building, they were successful. B'malachtan Kinevuas Chagai UZechariah. Like the prophecy of the Chagai and Zechariah, it seems that Rashi here is joining together with Nevuah and applying it to both. See that? Like the Nevuah of Chagai UZechariah. Maybe not, maybe you'll argue, all the word Nevuah is only going on Chagai. But simply it's going on Chagai and Zechariah. Hashem was the one that told them to rebuild. Everything comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the tzivu was handed down through Chagai and Zechariah. And Umirishus with the permission of Koresh, Melech Paras Harishain, Asher Huchal Yisod HaBinyin Biyamov. He was the first one that called, allowed them to return and establish the foundation. He surely thereafter halted the construction with Tzivui. Umirishus Daryavesh, this Daryavesh, the current one, Melech Paras. And then Rashi says, V'artach Shast, Hu Daryavesh. According to Rashi, the last two are the same. Hu Daryavesh, he is Daryavesh. V'nikra Artach Shasta, Al Shem HaMedina V'Hamalchus, Ki Chol Malchei Paras HaYunikra M'kach Kasher Kol Malchei Mitzrayim Nikra Paro. So according to Rashi, we have now a third interpretation of this pasuk, that there are two people being mentioned. There is Koresh, he was 14 years ago, and there is Daryavesh. And then when it says Artachshast, that's just another name for Daryavesh. Okay, not to be confused with another interpretation I told you, which I think maybe the Ralbach says, that Daryavesh, you have the Ralbach and Yochamesh there. It could be the Ralbach, I'm not sure, maybe I'm mistaken, but I think the Ralbach, Artachshast is for later, the next king, the king that's going to come after, or maybe it's the Malbim, it's going to come after After Daryavesh, that will.
Hebrew over here makes it
okay. In Aramaic, we're very liberal. were very generous and involved. It's not clear.
Yeah.
And what does he say? What does he say? Who does he say it is? Different opinions.
He said he quotes Rashi for most of his tzaddis. He's quoting Rashi.
Yeah.
He says, but he doesn't agree. Avo apirish anochun lefi apshat mashakosuv mitam korish v'daryovish v'artachshas shlosh malachim.
Ah, shlosh malachim.
Korish hamatzkil v'daryovish hamashlim binyan abayis v'samech le'artachshas boneh chomus
yishalai. Ah, chomus yishalai in the Nechemiah. A third king, that's what we're going to have in this. The Malbim says this. So this we have over here. Is the Malbim correct? That's the Malbim?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have Yahu over here, and then you have Chazal. You can't feel what Chazal say. We read the Midrash inside. All three are exactly the same. Okay, let's see over here the Mitzudas of what he says. Pasuk Yudalid,
the same thing.
Same thing as the Malbim. Okay. Pasuk Yudalid in the Mitzudas David. The Save is same will, same idea. The Save Zigna Yahudim Abanubi Tzlichu Kasher Niba Chagai. They built and were successful as according to the prophecy of Chagai. Ubanu hischilu livnos. The Gamru Habinyan and Gzeras Oimer Shalokei Yisrael, they began to build and they concluded through the command of Hashem. Asher Tziva al Yidei HaNeviim. So the Mitzudas here adds in a very important point that it was, because if you learn the Pasuk literally, you can say that Hashem influenced Koresh. What do you mean the Tziva of Hashem? You can learn, if you're not like the Mitzudas, I'm sure you'll probably find one of the Rishon that say this, is that Yeshaya commanded Koresh. In Yeshaya there's a very beautiful psukim that says, you're my Mashiach, you're my anointed one, and Hashem even mentioned in my name Koresh, Hu Yivne Bayis Lishmi. So Hashem gave the command through Yeshaya, and Koresh was told what Yeshaya said in the name of Hashem, that he shall grant the Jews permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and it was done. So when the Pasuk says to the command of Hashem, we're going back to 100, 200 years to the time of Yeshaya. That's one interpretation, but that's not what the Mitzudah says. The Mitzudah says that the Tzivi of Hashem was given now, 14 years after the stay, when Chagai and Zechariah appeared on the scene and said, I want everyone to go to the construction site and start working. And don't be afraid of the Persians, they're not going to stop us. So it's the Tzivi of Hashem through the Nevi'im. Umitaim. Next words, Migzeras Oimer Shal Koresh Hanoisin Rishus Mitchilu Livnos Habayis Migzeras Oimer Shal Dayavish Haparsi Shei Mechazek Direi Koresh V'Artach Shast Hu Dayavish Haparsi. So he's learning here like Rashi. Is the same as the Yevush HaParsi, who Shem Kinei Luchamalchei Paras, K'may Paru L'mitzrayim V'Hadoimim. Okay, Pasik Tes Vav. Pasik V'Sheitzi B'Yisodinah. Vishaytzi means it was concluded. Another unusual Aramaic word in the Mitzudos Tzion, Vishaytzi, inyan gemar v'hashlama. Where do we find what?
He went out.
Concluded. Ki kasher kolu hamalach. Ki kolu, the word, what kolu in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh is kolu, what's the Targum Unkelus? Kad shetziu. So this is the Aramaic equivalent of the word concluded. Vishaytzi Baisa dina ad in Aramaic means on. Unusual way to use the word ad, but that's how it's done in Aramaic. When was it concluded? Yom telasa lirach adar. So you have to remember the third day of Adar they have today. It's very popular in the papers. The yard sites became a very big, very popular today. Everyone say, who says yard site? And they rattle off for you a whole list of names. It's very nice. No tachnun. Every day by mincha, always joking. No tachnun today. This was yard site, and that was yard site. But of course, we say tachnun. But the third day of Adar is the day when the Bayis Sheni was concluded. Something interesting to remember. Telasa lirach Adar. Dihi shna sheis l'malchus der yovesh malko, which was the sixth year of Daryovesh, the king. Daryovesh issued permission, that which means that it took approximately 4 years. Because if you remember, a few psukim back, it was in the second year of the Malchus of Daryovesh where he gave the command, where the letter was sent to him, where Haggai and Zechariah told the Jewish people to begin rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, and the letter was sent to Daryovesh, and he reviewed the letter and granted permission for it to continue being constructed. And now it's the sixth year of his Malchus, which means it's 4 years later, so it's approximately 4 months. If I'm not mistaken, it's 4 years and 3 months exactly it took to complete the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. Dihishna Sheish Lemalchus Dor Yovesh Malka. Let's see Pasik Tezvav in Rashi. Tezvav Vishetzi Baisatunav Soif Tashlum Bayezeh. The end, the conclusion of this, the construction of this Bais HaYa'ahaya took Ad Yom Shalishi L'Chodesh Adar Shehishna Sheish L'Dayavish Melech Benimtza Binyan HaBayis HaYa Dalit Shanim, was exactly 4 years. A very short Mitzudas David V'Sheitzi Gemar Tashlum Binyan HaBayis HaZeh Nisacher. It was delayed, or that's how long it stretched out. Ad Yom Shlishi L'Chodesh Adar Sharhish B'Shnas HaShishis L'Malchus Daryovesh. Pasik Tes Zayin. Va'avadu v'nei Yisrael kahaniyah. Now, at this point in time, when they concluded the Beis HaMikdash on the third day of Adar, va'avadu v'nei Yisrael kahaniyah, the kohanim, v'lei voyei, and the Levim, u'shar b'nei galusa, chanukas beis elokod d'na b'chedva. They had a chanukas habayis. So it's very interesting. How long does the chanukas habayis last for? So the chanukas habayis, the Chanukah Sabayis by the Bayis Rishon was 16 days, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? 16 days. Was it 14 days? 7 and 7. It was 7 and 7. 7 and 14 days. So that means that they finished the Bayis on the third day. That means they would have concluded it on the 17th day of Adar. In the Mishnah, what does it say about Purim? Purim, the first Mishnah, Masech Megillah, Purim, the Megillah Nikreis, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tezvav, and Tezayin. And what about Yud Zayin? No, the Tezayin, it's 5 days, right? Tezayin. So it's interesting that the Chanukah Sabayis spanned 1 day past Purim. Purim is really, we celebrate Purim today just on 2-14 in Eretz, on the 15th day. But Me'ikar Hadin, Purim is Bizmanehen. It goes from 11th. It's a very long holiday. It all depends where you live. Very unique type of holiday. Purim. It all depends where you live. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. And that would mean if they celebrated for 14 days parallel to what they've done by the Bayis Rishon, and they start on the third day, so then when does it end? So we have 14, 15, 16, 17, but they overlap. So it would end on the 16th day, I think, right? You're going to have exactly 4 days. The last day would be the 16th day of Adar, which is the last day of Purim, which is very interesting, which means that the Chanukas HaBayis of the Bayis Sheni directly related to the miracle of Purim. This is only a few years after the miracle of Purim, and they were celebrating Purim. And the conclusion of the celebration of Purim coincided with, I'm assuming there was 14 days of celebration of the Beis HaMikdash, just like we have an explicit pasuk that says it was 14 days of celebration for the Chanukah Bayis Rishon. There has to be some relation. The celebration of the Beis Bayis Sheni coincided with the celebration of the miracle of Purim, which was as fresh as can possibly be in the minds of Klal Yisrael. If we celebrate Purim today with such excitement, we only can imagine how much they celebrated Purim then, in those times, with such excitement. Obviously, the emotions were mixed, indicating that there was a direct correlation between the success and the Siyat Shmai in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash in coming from the miracle of Purim. Imo Anochi B'Tzav Anochi Haster Aster Panai, I'm going to hide myself, but I'm still there with you. And this obviously to a certain degree captures the essence of what the Bayis Sheni is all about. I'm with you. It's a preparation for the long Golus that's going to come. Golus is defined in terms of Anochi Haster Aster Panai, and this Chanukas Ha Mikdash is all wrapped up in that idea. I'm here for you. Don't make any mistake about it. This is going to be the foundation for what's going to be the next 2,000 years of Golus. I think that's a very important idea, which needs to get credit, because the third day of the Yerushalayim. Let's see. So they made over here a very great celebration. Pasuk has Zayin and Rashi. There is no Rashi. And in the Mitzudos, Vavadu, Uvnei Yisrael Ve'akoinim Ve'alavim Oshar Ben Ha'goyle Heim Ha'naim Ha'nesinim. So he says over here, Uvnei Ave Shlomo Kulam Osu Chanukah Sabayis Beis Lekim Zeh Besimcha. So over here the Mitzudos is pointing out it wasn't just Ushor B'nei Golus. So he's giving us a very interesting translation. The reason why I'm pointing this out is because it's not going to be so similar when we come later to Melech Ashur. Because what does it say over here? It says over here, again, very important to keep note. We're going to stop here, but just to keep take note of this. Ushaor b'nei golusa. If you would not see this Mitzudas David, and some would ask you, what do these words mean? You would say it means the Yisraelim. Vavadu b'nei Yisrael, right? The Jews. Who are the Jews? I would translate the b'nei Yisrael is just a generic catch-all phrase. Who are the Jews? They include the Kohanaya and the Levoye. Ushar b'nei golusa means the Yisraelim. There were 46,230. So, yeah, we listed the Kohanim, we listed all their families, we have the sheets of all the Kohanim and all the Levim, and then they were the Yisraelim. Okay, we'll also have some other people. But that's not what he says. He makes emphasis that the Shor b'nei golusa, the Mitzudas Tzion, he's taking this from somewhere, obviously. The Avadu, he charges that B'nai Yisrael in the beginning of the Pasuk, those are the Yisraelim. Those are the primary part. That's the real full-fledged, from birth, FFBs, the B'nai Yisrael. Then we have the Kohanim, then we have the Levoyeh, and then when it says the Shor B'nai Golusa, those are the Nesinim, those are the Gerim, the Avdei Shlomo. It's very interesting. Yeah. That's not what you would expect. That's not how you translate the pasuk on a very similar level. That's what he says. The first Vnei Yisrael, he teaches the word Vnei Yisrael not as a catch-all introduction to what we're going to read, but this refers specifically to the Yisraelim. Then the Hakoyan the Halavim, Ushar Bnei Hagola. Who are the Bnei Hagola? Heim Hanesinim Uvnei Avdei Shlomo. They also participated. Kulam Osu Chanukah Space Elokim Zeh B'Simcha. That is an important. The reason why I want to bring that is because we're going to have later a mention of Melech Ashur. Melech Ashur is long dead, long gone. He's in the history books. It no longer exists, Melech Ashur. So why does it say that? So the Mefarshim want to explain because it means the Aseres Hashvat were now returning. And we're referencing B'nai Ashur because Melech Ashur, Sancheirav, Melech Ashur exiled. And at this point in time, Daryavesh took the lead, took over Koresh, the role of Melech Ashur, and they're extracting the Jews from the Aseres Hashvatim that have been exiled and they're returning. So you would say Shor B'nei Golusa refers to the Aseres Hashvatim. And if you want to go say the Yisrael, you would teach that refers to Yehuda, B'nei Yehuda, Binyamin. If you want to be creative in this pasuk, you would teach Yisrael, B'nei Yehuda, Binyamin. Kohanim and Levim, Ushar b'nei Golusa, Yisraelim from the Aseres Hashvatim that are all over the place. How do they get all over the world? Because 150 years ago there was a person called Sancheiriv Melech Ashur, and he exiled them. And in fact, we're going to reference him in a few moments. No, it's not what it says. What are the Gerim? Okay, so of course they're going to be small pockets of Gerim and Nesinim and Avdei Shlomo. But for some reason, he emphasizes this idea in the Mitzudas David that we're not discussing the Aseres Hashvatim, we're not discussing Yisraelim, we're discussing here specifically the Nesinim and the Avdei Shlomo, and these other groups, the Asar Yuchs and Olam Yibavel, these other minority groups that also participate in the Chanukah space HaMidash. Okay, we have to stop here. But Chedva is a very interesting word. We have to also discuss that. What's the significance of Chedva? There are many words in Tanakh for joy. And the fact that this word was selected to express the joy, doesn't say with simcha, doesn't say with Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Chedva, Ava, Yachva, Veshalom, Vereus, it says Chedva. So Chedva has a unique connotation, and I'm sure there was, we have to figure out the deeper meaning of what the joy, this word, Tataych, is the joy of the Bayis Sheni.